Hi, and welcome to the Red Tunic Podcast, a podcast where I look to rediscover what makes gaming fun and enjoyable by having positive conversations with those related to the industry. My name is Link, and today I'm joined by Rui, 3D character artist at Riot Games. Hi, Rui, how are you doing today?
Hi, Link. Yeah, doing pretty good. What about you?
I am doing all right. Thanks for asking. You know, it's a Friday for me, Friday for both of us, I should say. It is
yeah,
a Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's the weekend is what I should have been saying. We're getting to the weekend. So, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, it's no work tomorrow. Hopefully no work for you tomorrow as well. So, yeah.
Yep. I hope so.
I would hope you know if there's no work tomorrow when you say I hope so, that it's not just
it's a joke, but obviously I'm not going to work, but...
Fantastic. I'm glad that you don't have to work tomorrow. So Rui, before we get started, if you don't mind telling me and anyone listening a little bit about yourself, just so we have a better idea of who exactly you are before we, you know, get into the questions.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Rui. I was born and raised in Malaysia. I started doing 3D when I was back in 2015. I was learning 3D for film and animation initially. So I studied there for 3 years, and then I started working at this company called Lemon Sky Studios. That was a local Malaysian company, and they mostly do outsourcing work. I know recently they've been doing their own like IPs, but back then I had the chance to work on Warcraft 3 Reforged as a junior character artist. I worked there for a short while before I moved on to San Francisco to study game development at Academy of Art University. I was there for about 4 years, and I did some internships in between. One of them is at a mobile game company called Anime Games. I was actually a 3D environment artist instead of a character artist. I did the arenas for this game called WWE Undefeated. I integrated some of the assets in there and then polished the environments a bit. And then after that, I interned at Riot Games on my senior year. That was last year, actually. I was interning at Riot Games for Valorant as a 3D character artist. Did that for 3 months, graduated last year, and I'm back at Riot Games full time. So, and I've been here for about six months now, I think. I moved to LA because of it, beginning of this year. So I'm still new to LA, still exploring, but here I am.
So, you know, thank you for sharing that, you know, walking us through that journey. And, you know, also congratulations on moving up from being an intern to a full-time employee. I don't know if that's the right way to say that. However, that's how I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, thank you.
Also, I think that's really interesting that you started doing, with the attempt for like film and animation, which mm-hmm. I don't know how much of a cross there would be in terms of that for games. You know, I don't know if you'd be able to speak to that a little better or what have you. No pressure if you can't or what have you. But I think like that, I think that's really interesting just because I imagine they're similar-ish in terms of how you might approach it. But I don't know if you can correct me on that or not.
Yeah, it is pretty similar. So I think I can only speak to 3D art, but it is pretty transferable. Like you're kind of using the same software to make the models, right? I think it just depends on what the 3D models are going to end up in. Is it going to be like in a game engine or is it going to be in, you know, is it going to be rendered in like frames? The workflow is kind of, it's transferable, but the end result might be different because, it depends. So for one example I can think of is for games, you know, the 3D model is going to be looked at all angles. You're going to look at it from the top down, front, side. So you have to make sure that all angles look good. But for animation stuff, you could cheat because technically you're only rendering in like frames and with like one camera angle. So you could see like if you're seeing the 3D scenes, some of the meshes could be like really messed up just to get the shot that you want. So I guess that's like one difference. But I would say it's pretty transferable.
So, you know, you mentioning that, especially like the one angle, the one kind of camera frame or what have you, it reminded me of this. And I don't know if you're familiar about this or you've seen this, but there's the Dragon Ball FighterZ game, I think it is, made by Arxis or what have you, the technical fighter. I don't know if you've seen it, but someone kind of like did one of those boundary break kind of videos where they were pulling apart like the cutscenes for their like big smashes or whatever and showing like how they do them. And because it's like one camera angle, you see like, you know, I'll use like Gohan or what have you. And it's like they have like his neck like stretched up and then down at a weird angle. So that way the camera can get like his head with his hair with like his body, but his body's like kind of at a weird angle and his one arm for whatever reason is like 20 feet back. You saying that just reminded me of that. And like that makes perfect sense why, you know, like if you're doing like an animation, why you'd be like, well, screw it. I don't need to make everything perfect in terms of the reality. I just have to make it perfect for the shot.
Exactly.
And so
some parts of the games do that also, like in terms of the Dragon Ball Z one. If it's like cinematics, then you know you could use some of those like really hacky ways to make things look perfect in the cinematic. I don't know. It's just fun when players like find these frames and then they screenshot it and it becomes a meme and you just see like, haha, like that's me. That's my work. I did that.
And you know, I think in terms of the discourse, not to try and focus on anything negative in, you know, the what have you, not the topic or not the purpose of the podcast. However, all of the ones I've seen when people find those, it's always like a funny thing. Like it's always a positive thing because I think a lot of people realize it's just cheating to make the shot work. And that makes me happy just because, you know, it's the discourse can always be to be mean to anyone related to the industry, like the devs and everything. And it's, you know, seeing that be one of the things that's consistently everyone is enjoying no matter what makes me happy just because it's so easy for everyone to be mean about stupid things that should be just, you know, like you said, it's a meme. It should be funny because it is hilarious.
It is hilarious. Like, I'm not mad that, like, you know, we had to do that. Okay, honestly, you're not supposed to look at that in the first place. So you finding it and posting it, I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. It's just funny to us. Like, we don't really take any offense to that. I mean, unless you're like, oh, you purposely say bad things about it. But I don't know. We have fun looking at these kind of stuff too.
And I think, and that's great to hear. Now, Rui, I want to ask this because you know you touched on it already. So I don't know. I don't know where this question will go in the grand scheme of things, just because, you know, you mentioned, you know, coming from Malaysia, you started in doing 3D film and animation, where you worked, how you built up to being a character artist from the environment artist. However, how did you get into developing and making games? And if everything you said before is all you have to say on it, by all means, that's all you have to say on it. You don't have to, you don't have to stretch anything is what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, no worries. This is a kind of could be a long question, but you know, I did play games when I was younger. I played a lot of like Nintendo games, Pokemon games. I played some like Maple Story, like anything I can get really. So I did grow up making it. Oh, what am I saying? I did grow up playing games, but I wasn't thinking about making games because I didn't think that. I don't know why my brain just think that, oh, games just are on the shelf already. Like, I just buy them and I play them, right? And I didn't really think about making games when I was younger. And back in Malaysia, the animation scene wasn't super big in the first place, but I knew that that was what I wanted to do. And that was, like, close enough to, like, games, I suppose. It's, like, entertainment, right? So that was my only avenue. And then I got into film and animation back then. But I thought about, I didn't really think about making games until I was working for a game company after I graduated from art school. So Lemon Sky was like one of the game companies that I joined the first time. And I got to work on Warcraft as an outsourced junior artist. And back then, how to say this? I was just given a task. I did my task. I passed it off. And then when I see it in the game engine, just running about, like, I just see my model in the game. I wasn't really told how it got in there. They just show like, yeah, like it looks great. You just need to do like maybe polish up some of the textures and then you're good to go. But I don't know. It just got me curious to see like how things get done. Like, you know, how did this go from A to B in the game engine? I was curious about that. And I think as an outsourced artist, you are not privy to a lot of these like info. Back then, you were just given a task, you were expected to finish the model and pass it off. So that was what piqued my curiosity again, into making games. And I think that was one of the things that made me want to study game dev in SF. That was what led to that decision at the end, because I was curious to how things work, I guess, back behind games and everything.
So, you know, thank you for sharing that. And I think that's a really interesting reason to kind of dive in, is that you kind of like, you saw the curtain open a little and you're like, well, I want to mm-hmm. see what's behind there more. Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just think that's really neat because I don't, off the top of my head, I can't recall how much other people had like a similar experience of wanting to get into it because they were curious how it worked more. So yeah, just thank you for sharing. That's just really interesting. Now, based on how you got into this, how you got into working and, you know, doing 3D art and such, are there any words of wisdom that you could share based on what you went through to get from, you know, point A to B to here?
I think just doing a lot of research on what you want to do in the first place, and just keep pursuing it. Like, don't let other people tell you what you shouldn't or should or shouldn't do. I think the most important thing is that you stick to what you want to do, right? Like, you want to make games, you are going to find ways to make that happen. Just stay true to yourself, I think, and what you really want to do. And things will fall into place eventually. And you'll know what you should do next.
So, thank you. That is wonderful advice, I think. The focus on doing what you want to do. And as you said, staying true to yourself. I just think that's fantastic. Because a lot of times, people will chase doing something and they'll find out after the fact it's maybe not what they wanted to do, or it's something that they're not really that interested in. And like, you know, doing the research to figure that out. And then, you know, when you figure out what you'd like to do or have a idea of it as you're doing it or working towards it, you know, it's at that point, like, regardless of what other people are telling you, if it's going to work and you're able to make it work, just keep on doing it, right? Like, you know, don't let someone crush your dreams or oh no, now I just have that Shia LaBeouf meme in my head. just do it. Just do it.
Don't let dreams be dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Anyway, but thank you for sharing that. I 100% agree with that. I think it's fantastic advice. And now, I don't know how this is going to go though, just because, you said it wasn't really until you were you played games when you were younger, like Pokemon MapleStory. But it wasn't until you were doing your parts of the Warcraft 3 remaster or however it was framed, and seeing things like in the game, in the world. But was there, you know, was there a different game maybe that got you interested in like doing this, or was it very much just that moment of seeing your stuff in the Warcraft 3 engine going, oh, I want to know more about this. And that's sort of what led you down the path of going more into games as opposed to like animation and what have you.
Oh, yeah, I think the way I phrased it could have been taken it that way. But I think when I mentioned that, it was more of like, oh, I rediscovered like, oh, how, but I guess my passion to like make games in the past. But there are like other games that made me feel that way too. I still remember, I had a MacBook before that, and you know how like you can't play a lot of games on the MacBook, and I can only play a few of those games. And one of the games that I was crazy about back then was Skyrim, and I couldn't play that because it wasn't on a MacBook. So I could only live that through YouTube playthroughs, especially back then I was watching like Jesse Cox play it, and I would tune in every time, like every episode, just to watch him play it. And I wanted to play it so badly. So I found a way. I somehow got a copy of Skyrim on the MacBook. I almost broke my MacBook because of that. But like, I got Skyrim on my MacBook. I was playing, I was downloading mods for it too. But because there was no, like, Nexus mods wasn't on the MacBook. I don't think I could do that. So I had to download my mods manually. I had to, like, put them in the, like, folders in the game. Like, how do you explain this? I had to do it manually. I had to put all the files in manually. And if I put something in the wrong folder, I would break it. So I had to be really careful about that. And I think just seeing, like, how, you know, like, there's, like, texture maps, there's, like, the FEX files, there's, like, all these kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. And I'm seeing, I was pretty active in the modding community too, I think back then. I was, like, trying out so many mods, as many as I could. I was following, like, there was this one person that was making environment mods, like house mods for Skyrim that I was following. And she made some tutorials on like, oh, how does she make the houses look like cozy, or like how does she make them look nice. So I was following those things too, and it's so interesting to me, like I would want to do that too. I would want to make something and have it in Skyrim as a mod, and just being able to interact with it. That was like, and I thought of like, yeah, I could do this for a living. Like, I could just be a modder for the rest of my life, just making 3D models and putting it to Skyrim. I was like 12, 13 back then. So I didn't know anything about it besides like, you know, surface levels. I'm like, I could do this all day. I could just make 3D models and put it in there. So I think that's what kind of sparked it too. And also back then, I spent a lot of time, I'm the type of person that will spend hours in character customization, just tweaking like every single detail, like eye width, eye height, eye type, hair type, you know? So I will spend hours in there, like just tweaking little things and just making my character like perfect. And then all that hours will go to waste after like a few minutes in the game. I'm like, actually, I don't like this character. So I'll just make a new game. I'll just make a new character. And I'm not even playing the game anymore. I'm just playing the character customization like feature. Right? So I think that's also another like launching point. Like, I love making characters. I love making them look nice. And I just, yeah, I don't know. Like, if that could just be a game itself, I would do it. I've been doing that with Baldur's Gate 3 too. I've just spent like hours just in there like tweaking my hair color, my eye color. I don't know. I'm just happy in character creation. And I guess that's how I became a character artist in the first place. Like, I just love making characters. I just love making good looking ones too.
So thank you for sharing that. And you know, there's a lot to unpack there. Not in a bad way, of course. But just the you know, the first thing I guess to pull out of the box was making Skyrim run on a Mac. I Well, you were explaining it. I did a quick Google. I was like, you were right. It wasn't there. And, you know, just like the top results, just like mods or not mods, is like a how-to guide to how to make it work. Power to you for making, for being able to pull, like, that is very impressive that you were able to figure it out, get that working. And then also throwing mods in there. When I would play Skyrim, like the amount of mods I would have loaded up, it would be like 10 hours and minimum hours of like trying to make all the mods like be cohesive, how to make them not like kill each other. And then like an hour of gameplay, and like, well, I'm done. I've did what I got my fill, right? I did the tutorial. Yep. I'm good. But like the dedication that you had to play the game, and then also making mods work, and like that leading to you, you know, wanting to find ways to step into the industry, that's just fantastic. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's just absolutely wonderful. And then, you know, onto, you know, the character customizing thing. I think a lot of us can speak to that. I used to have a big problem with that personally. And the only thing that made me stop having that problem is I realized, you know, like if it's a game like Skyrim, I typically would play in first person. So, you know, those kind of games, I would spend like all this time trying to do it. And then one day I went, I'm never going to see my character from the, like really from anything but the back in a few attempts, like a few times. I'll never see them from the front. So I'm like, I don't think I need to, like that. That's what made me not spend like hours and hours. Now, don't get me wrong. Like a game like Saints Row, or like Grand Theft Auto, or, you know, like Divinity Original Sin 2. I haven't played Baldur's Gate, so I can't speak to that one. But like a game, you know, similar to that, where you are going to see your character from all angles. Yeah, that's a problem. I'm just like you. And I think just like everyone, I'm, you know, the same as you. I'm just going to be dedicated to that. And, you know, at some point, probably like download a mod to make it so I don't have to restart when I want to redo my character like 10 hours in or whatever, you know?
Yep. That is always a struggle.
And, you know, like, I think, you know, you mentioned that, you know, if there was a game where that's all you did, I think I don't remember if I'm right on this, but I think Black Desert before the game launch might have popped off that, or one of those games, like one of those Korean MMOs, which I thought was absolutely wonderful, or not wonderful, genius, because like you're going to get people hyped about playing your game. Let them spend 10, 15, 20 hours trying to make their character. That way they feel, you know, that way they feel like they've already invested themselves and all that time that they have to now, you know, jump on and pay for the subscription or what have you.
Yep.
I'm shocked other, like, it's not more common just because that's a brilliant way to hook people, right?
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't know if it's like a really good hook. Maybe initially, like just to get you into the game, but then to make you stay though, that's a whole other story. Because like speaking of, you mentioned that there are certain games where if you're not gonna see your character, there's no point like really spending all that time customizing. And I felt that pain. Like there are certain games where, like, you know, the struggle of like putting on a helmet and then just covering the face and you're just never gonna see your character again. I hate those kind of again, hate is a strong word, but I really appreciate when the game has like a setting to turn off the helmet visibility, so you can see that your face, and it's like, and then you can see like your character in a cutscene with like, I don't know, like your funky armor in cutscene. That's always like really funny to me. I always enjoy those moments. And then I know recently Diablo 4, I also spent some time in character customization, and I obviously love seeing my character in the cutscenes too. But right now, I think the patch, after this patch, they made it so that your character is showing on the loading screen, which I think is really good too. Like, you spend so much time working on your armor and like your character, you would obviously want to show it off, right? And then just seeing them on a loading screen sometimes, it's pretty cool. I just love when games let us do that, like let us enjoy seeing all of the hard work we did in we spend in character creation. But that might just be me. Like, I'm just kind of like crazy like that, you know.
But, well,
yeah.
I, you know, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you're probably not alone in that. Like, I played a lot of Cyberpunk, you know, that's a first person game. And one of the things I actively did, even though you never see it, not even in like cutscenes outside of like the rare one where you're in front of a mirror or what have you, I went out of my way to download clothing mods. Just because like I didn't like the pants and the jackets that you had by default. And like, ooh. I was downloading more of them that I liked, or like hair mods and stuff. And at one point I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm never gonna see it. Like, outside of like looking down and seeing my shoes. Cause I also know the way, I don't remember if I did this with a mod or what, but I also know the way to make sure that my field of vision, when I looked down, I could actually see like my chest, so I could see the jacket, the pants, and all of that. And I was like, after a while, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm, you know, like 80-90% of the time, I'm not staring at the shoes that I just spent an hour trying to find to make sure that I could download, to make sure that I didn't overwrite other, you know, like. But what I'm getting is, I very much think you are in the majority of people that probably enjoy that. Cause you know, like if I'm playing a game, and there's like a, hide helmet or like a hide cape option, yeah, that thing is being clicked right away. You know, like,
yep.
Like I picked my character's hair for a reason, right? Like I picked all of the things that like that helmet's going to hide. I picked, in most cases, the armor that they're wearing. So that cape's hiding it. Right. So, you know, those are like the first things I'm going for as well. Cause you know, I want to see the character. Like if I spent like 3 hours making sure that the face was the way I wanted it to be, I'm going to make sure I can see that face and not one of those like helmet mask things with like the gate close on the front. I used to know what those were called, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. Just let me be immersed in my game. Like, I just want that. Let me do that. But yeah, a struggle.
And you know, even more so for games like Skyrim, where you can dress up your companion. And
oh yeah,
even if sometimes the absolute nonsense of what you're dressing them up in, you know, it's, you know, at those points, it's like, well, you don't need to be cohesive. I just want to laugh at the stupid armor I've slapped you in.
yeah. Like you're the armor mule, you know, you just take whatever I give you and then you just look nice.
Yeah, like I don't know if you know about this, but there's in Fallout New Vegas, one of the companions you get is like a military sniper guy. And if you take his hat and you give him like a birthday party hat and force him to wear it, when you're talking to him, he like, I don't remember if it's every conversation, but he basically is like, I'd like my hat back, please. I don't like this.
Oh my God.
Don't make me like, don't do this. Like, please take this and give me my hat back. I would appreciate like,
oh, and wait, I love that.
And it's hilarious. Cause it's literally one of those like paper birthday party hats that you like stick on him and he just hates it. And like the game actively knows, like is set up that he knows he has it and he hates it and he's mad at you for it.
Wait, that's amazing. Like, I love when devs do these, like, you don't, like, devs don't have to like put these very specific scenarios, right? Like, oh, if character has party hat, then this interaction happens, right? There's no reason why they would have to do that, but just the fact that it's in there, I just love small moments like this, like very specific moments like this. It just shows that they care, and it's. I just love finding small, Easter eggs, like just small stuff like that. It just makes the game more fun to for me to find, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's nice to see that they, one, had that sense of humor, but also the passion to, like, try and sneak this little thing in to you know, that hopefully someone finds and gets to enjoy as much as they got to enjoy it, right? Because I know there's, you know, there's always some, like, devs, they actively haunt people with, like, how much stuff, how many secrets are yet to be found. And I imagine some are just sitting there like, I hope someone puts that party hat on them. I hope someone puts that party hat on them.
Right? And then, like, and who knows if, like, someone will ever find a party hat. Some, I feel like there are certain Easter eggs where they're just never found. And the devs are probably just, like, shaking their hands. Like, when am I going to find a YouTube video about this? I just need that, you know? Just the thought of it is so, so funny. I know one of the games, I mean, Stardew Valley is pretty famous for that too. Like, the dev, he claimed to have a lot of Easter eggs that until now is still not found, and who knows how many are in there, you know. And I know players are still actively looking for them, and he's always teasing about, like, there's like actually 20 more in there, you just gotta find them. I don't know, it just makes you want to play the game, I guess. I just love stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've come across some of, like, the secret ones that they put in, that Concerned Ape put in. Like, I think, and, like, every time I just find it by accident, be like, what the hell is this? And, like, you know, look up at the wiki. And it's like, oh, it's because you went into the bushes and, like, you went to this specific bush at this time and you pressed use and you found a statue. And I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, how many, like, what was the chain of events I accidentally did to make this work, right? Like, I absolutely love those ones.
Have you ever had moments where you found an Easter egg, you look it up on Wiki, and there's no results? Like, you don't know what this actually is?
So, I haven't personally, but I watched a YouTube video about something like this for Oblivion. From years ago, and it was how you can start, like, a whole goblin war, and how there's, like, an item that the goblins have that they will hunt down, get, and bring back to their goblin cave. And there's, like, 5 or 10 goblin different camps, and for years people would accidentally trigger it without realizing what it is that they did to trigger it. And, you know, it's one of those things where you would look it up and there would just be, like, rumors of it, because they'd be like, oh, I found this, or I had this. And, like, people would be like, no, you're lying. Like, this isn't possible. I can't recreate it, because the conditions to make it work were so, like, specific. Until, like, you know, just a few years back, I think it was, on a game from, like, over 10 years ago at this point, they finally, like, someone finally sat down and was like, oh, wow, so this leads to this, to this, to this. But, you know, I absolutely love that. When I was younger, I played a lot of a game called Harvest Moon 64.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And one of the biggest rumors then was that there... So for anyone who's never played Harvest Moon 64, I think this was the only one that even had this mechanic. I honestly cannot remember if Back to Nature, Friends of Mineral Town, like, that's effectively the one everyone thinks of when they think of Harvest Moon, or, you know, what have you, for Story of Seasons. But in Harvest Moon 64, your achievements were pictures. So if you did a certain life event, a photographer came and took a picture and you filled out a photo album, you know, and usually it was tied to, like, big events, like the horse race festival or what have you, doing different things. And one of the biggest rumors when I was younger was a second photo album. And in the end, it was just everyone lying about how to do it. But it was, like, the internet in, like, 1999, 2000. So, like, I, at that point especially, I don't know what most people, I didn't know that you shouldn't believe everything you read on the internet. So, like, I believed it and was trying all this stuff and, like, posting on, like, message boards. And people were like, oh, yeah, you do this. And, you know, now think back, like, all those people were just lying. Like, I was a 12-year-old kid. They were lying to a child. How dare they?
I mean, imagine lying on the internet, like, just spreading misinformation. Like, who would do that on the internet, you know?
To, to children, no less.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just unrelated, well, kind of. When I was, you know, a few years before that, my a friend of mine, he used to make fun of me because I would come into school and, like, parrot everything I read online for games as if it were the truth. So I was like 11, 12. I thought it was real. And because of that, it became a joke that everything I said was just a flat-out lie because I legitimately thought all of those, like, stupid rumors were true. And I'd be like, yeah, you can totally play as Luigi in Mario 64. Like, you know, I read it. This is how you do it. It's like, I was a child. I was an idiot. You know, I was, like, 12. Leave me alone. But yeah, like, yeah. Back then, it was unimaginable that people would just go onto the internet and lie like that.
Yeah, imagine. But I think that's one of the more, how to say this, like, you find something on the internet, and then if you want to find out if it's true, so you try it out, right? Like, there's certain things that you wouldn't think of. Yeah, like, who would think of this? But you're also kind of curious. So you log on the game and you try it, and then, I don't know, like, it's just, you just find out if it's true or not, and then... If you find it good, if you don't, then I guess, like, I won't I'm not regretting the time that I spent playing the game because it's so fun, right?
Yeah. And, like, you know, back then, part of the problem of chasing, like, these little Easter eggs was, you know, some of them were so inherently tied to doing things in a time limit as well, or, like, a specific way. Mm-hmm. And, like, there was no YouTube then. Like, you know, if your friend's older brother walked up to me and was like, if you beat Super Metroid in under an hour, you know, the end scene is her standing there is Samus standing in a bathing suit, you had no way to prove that they were lying to you, right? Like, it wasn't like, yeah, you'd just be like, let me pull up YouTube and see if this is true and see this. Like, you just had to believe them. And then if you didn't pull it off, like, you just either assumed, one, they were lying, and when you couldn't do something, it was easier to say that you were lying, or, mm-hmm, you know, you just accepted that you suck and you couldn't do it, yeah, or you kept trying, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole, you know, trust me, bro, trust me, this is really in the game.
Yeah,
and yeah, exactly. Sure, I guess.
my uncle John Nintendo told me so.
Yeah, like, of course, like, I have, my uncle's working at Nintendo, and he told me all of this, so that's, therefore, it's true. But... yeah, back in those days.
So, Rui, I want to ask this just because, you know, I have a feeling it's going to be Skyrim. But if it's not, I'd like to, you know and, you know, see what makes this game so special to you. But, you know, do you have a favorite game? And, like, what, if it wasn't Skyrim, what was it about that game that made it your favorite, that makes it stand above all else? And if it isn't Skyrim, you know, feel free to say see 20 minutes ago or see 10 or what have you.
Okay. I'm not gonna say Skyrim because I think it is mainly nostalgia. I think that makes it, like, fun for me because I was still a kid, right? Now that my brain is somewhat fully developed, I look back at Skyrim like, I don't know why I love this game so much. But if I had to pick one that I really enjoy, I would say Divinity would be, like, up there. I love the story. I didn't get all of the endings, but so far, like, the time that I've spent in that game is amazing. I would love to, like, experience playing it for the first time again. And then just, like, having to pick your character, like, the elf, the Red Prince, Fane, and just going through, like, I love games where they just throw you in there and, like, all right, just mess around and find out, you know, like, just do whatever you have to do, talk to whatever NPCs. I don't know, I just have a lot of fond memories of that game, especially with friends too. I've played with friends and we, like, I won't say break the game, but we went on a killing spree. And that did not end well, you know? So I just have a lot of fond memories like that. I love games where you can just look back and be like, yeah, do you remember that one time when, like, this guy did this? And you're like, yeah, I love moments like that. So Divinity is on top of there. And then there's also Valheim. I've had I spent a lot of time in Valheim with some friends, and just having that sense of community in there too is really fun. We died a lot of times though to bosses, but you know, it's just, I don't know what kept me in there. Like it's just fun to me, especially the just having to mess around with friends. I think those would be the top two, I think, that come up from the top of my head. Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing that. And, speaking more specifically to Divinity and like breaking the game, I played Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2 with my friend, and I can't think of anything that we specifically did in 2 that broke things, but in 1 we managed to sequence break, like, I want to say a good chunk of the entire quest, just because we wandered off and managed to like break into a place that we shouldn't have been, and like we skipped a whole bunch of the game, and we're talking to some NPCs and like, oh yeah, you guys went and did this, and both of us stop, and we like, we would be drinking when we played these games, and both of us had to stop and be like, we're both sober enough to know they're talking nonsense, right? Like we actively skipped a bunch of the stuff, but the game wasn't set up to acknowledge that skip. So it was just like, if you're here and you're talking to this NPC because you did X, Y, and Z, you clearly did all this other stuff. And we're like, well, we can't backtrack now. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, sure, I'll just go along just to say, like,
Yeah,
sure.
we definitely did that thing you said. Yeah, sure, yeah. And then the other one, just because I love sharing this one. I don't know if this was like before a patch, but like you weren't supposed to be able to attack ghosts in the first in Original Sin. We killed a ghost and we broke a quest line.
Oh no.
All because, like you said, you went on killing sprees. I said to my friend, basically, I'm like, hold my beer, watch what I can do, and I just like force attack the ghost, and the ghost like popped and vanished. And we're just standing there. We're like, okay, we killed a ghost. Whatever. Funny. Ha ha. The
Well,
quest is now
yeah,
open.
we found out, yeah, like you actually can kill one and things are
Well,
broken now.
it wasn't broken until later on, where you're supposed to reunite like this dead hu husband with his dead wife.
Oh
And then the wife
no.
went, and she's just a ghost standing there over like a ghost corpse kind of thing. And she's just standing there. Because the trigger can't go because the husband's not there. Like the game knew that he didn't exist, so it couldn't trigger.
Oh no.
But sorry, you saying you tried to like break the game reminded me of breaking Original Sin 1. We weren't able to break 2, unfortunately, or fortunately, because who knows
Yeah.
what would have happened.
Who knows? But I'm glad. Like, thanks for sharing that memory. Like, that's why I love playing these kind of games, right? Like, you get to recall these, like all the weird things or like funny things that like, you found out. And it's just, I don't know. It holds a special place in my heart, I think, because of those memories.
And I think that's the important thing, like being able to like think back on those, like on the things that you got to do. Like you said in Valheim, chasing down the bosses, or like, I don't know, I'm going to assume maybe trying to build like a big structure and having like the structure collapse on you, or maybe smoking yourselves out and killing everyone in their sleep
Oh my
because you
God.
didn't do the roof right or something.
Yes, that happened a lot. Like, I didn't think that I would have to. I had to be like an architecture student, like going into Valheim, like, all right, we need to like lay out our base like this so that we don't die from the smoke, right? And obviously someone doesn't listen, and then they will like cover up the vents. And then we were like, oh, actually, is your game like, oh, why is it all gray in here? And then we all just die, right, from like smoke poisoning. Come on. But it's just, yeah, fond memories from Valheim.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm always happy to hear stuff like that, or just what have you, because it's also fun to share, because like everyone's done that. Maybe you have that one friend that just never learns and keeps doing it, and you like have to sit there after like the fourth or fifth time, and be like, mm-hmm. you get your own hut outside. You get your own private yeah. hut. You can that's for you, just you.
Yeah.
You build your own fire. That's good luck.
Mm-hmm. Good luck out there. Here's your wood. Here's your fire. Here's your rocks. You do your own thing. I'll see you later.
Yeah, we'll see you when the sun comes up.
Yeah.
Now, Rui, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. However, I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, not gaming stuff. I want to talk about, like, you outside of gaming and what you do, like, what you enjoy doing and what you do to relax. Like, you know, you had mentioned that you went from Malaysia to San Francisco, I believe it was, and now to LA, mm-hmm. and you're just learning that. So, like, you know, outside of working at Riot, making character stuff for Valorant or what have you, what do you do? What do you enjoy doing?
Can I say playing games? no.
That is a valid yeah. answer, obviously.
Of course. I would play games. I'm playing like Baldur's Gate and Diablo 4 right now. But I also like play some games on my Switch. But other than games, I don't know. I just like exploring, like finding new places to eat. I picked up crocheting like a few months ago, so I've been trying that out. I sketch during my free time. I do some like figure drawing, and also just going out to like sketch people with like sunglasses on. You know, I'm just sitting in a corner, not being a weirdo or anything. I'm just sketching. But and then sometimes I'll go, if I'm in a mood, I'll just go rock climbing with friends. I've been, I picked up bouldering because of that. I have this friend that is very much into bouldering, and he convinced me to go. I'm still very afraid of heights, but I think I'm slowly getting past that. I'm enjoying it a lot more. I recently just got like, recently just went for like a top rope class. So hopefully that goes well. In the future. But other than that, I don't know, just spending time with friends. Oh, board game nights. Sometimes you do have board game nights with friends. That's always fun. But other than that, I don't know. I think, I don't want to say I live a boring life, but I sometimes just spend time to myself also, just to recharge my batteries. But that's kind of it.
So, you know, thank you. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I don't think, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, but I don't think you should worry about, like, you know, a quote unquote, a boring life or what have you, right? Like, you know, I sometimes when you're just doing things, when you're like living or what have you, right, that it's just like you do things, and those things to you or to some people, they might be boring, and, you know, screw those people, right? Like, you know, you don't have to, you don't have to justify what you enjoy as exciting or what have you to anyone else. Like if you enjoy being the person with the oversized sunglasses on in the corner sketching people, you know, by all, obviously that's, you know, probably not how you do it. But, you know, what I mean is, like, if that's what you enjoy doing, you know, that's who is anyone to judge you on that, right? Like, you know, everyone enjoys doing their own thing, like you said, to recharge their batteries. And I think anyone that's going to, like, judge anyone for, you know, their standards of it is, you know, like I said, screw them. You know, they don't mm-hmm. get a say in it, right?
Fact. I love that.
So I do want to ask
people enjoy things. Sorry. Oh, let people enjoy things. Okay. Sorry. I cut you off.
No worries. No worries. But no, you're right. A lot of people enjoy things. And that's, you know, that's a good lead to this real quick. What's the difference between bouldering and rock climbing? I don't know.
Oh, okay. I use that term, I use both of those terms exchangeably. I don't know if that's the word, but I'm sure there's a more technical term for that. But I'm assuming bouldering is like without the rope, right? You just kind of free, like, climb indoors on the wall with no rope, no support. Rock climbing is like if you actually go out to rock, like actual climb on actual rocks in nature. I might be wrong on that, because I use that word exchangeably, and I'm still new to this. So people that climb Please do not mind me, but that is my definition. So, yeah.
Well, awesome, and thank you for that. And you know, the other one was, can you explain what top rope is?
Oh, okay, my bad. Okay, yeah, top rope is when you, so for bouldering, you're climbing the wall. It's usually like pretty short. It's not super high up, but top rope is when you, like, you know, you have the belay. Oh, how do I explain this? You hook yourself up to a rope. Okay, TLDR, you hook yourself up to a rope on your waist, and then you kind of climb up to like 20 feet. And then once you're done, you have someone else down there lowering you on back to the ground, and then you repeat that again. It's basically you climb higher with a rope for support so you don't die if you fall. I think it's pretty fun. Like it's like a fun social activity you do with like your partner. That's
so, you know, thank you for explaining that. I had never heard of top rope. So I think that's really neat. And you know, when I was laughing, it was more at the so you don't die, because you know that is the ideal thing of all hobbies. Yes. I feel like I don't think anyone that's bouldering or what have you wants to be known for dying while doing that, just as much as anyone that's, you know, enjoying crocheting wants to be known as dying because they stab themselves with their needle thing.
Yeah, that is not ideal. You wouldn't want to do that.
So, Ruby, as I said, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I do want to rattle this one off for me real quick, though, mm-hmm. just because, you know, you said you are exploring LA and you do board game night. Is there anything, any place cool you found that you think other people should check out in LA that you found and thought is cool?
Ooh. That is a tough question, because honestly, I do not have a car in LA. So that is already like very limiting, right? I can't go like too far off. I do love this one restaurant. It's called Lonzo's. It's a Peruvian food. We found that recently through a friend, and I think that was one of the best food I had in a while. The saltadas are amazing. But other than that, there's this one place that we went to sketch called the Platform. I think it's a really nice small little like outdoor mall kind of thing. They have pretty good ice cream there. And they have a small like park, like they have a dog park there. The time when we went to sketch, it was kind of sad because there wasn't a lot of dogs running around. I would have loved to sketch some dogs, but we sat in a corner to draw like some more people. And that was one of my favorite places. I think I will want to go there more often. But other than that, I frequent Sawtelle a lot, like the one street with a lot of food. One of my favorite places is on the street anyway, is Mellow Mellow. It's like a coconut jelly place with mango chunks in it. That is my go-to dessert in that area. But those three would be my favorite places in LA so far.
So thank you for sharing those recommendations or what you've discovered. You know, if I'm ever allowed back in LA or just in LA in general, I will try and keep that in mind to take a look at. And hopefully,
wait, what
other
do you mean
people...
by what do you mean by allowed back in LA? You sound like you're not. Have you done something in LA that makes you not be able to come back?
Sorry, we don't need to worry about it. It's all good. It's all good.
All right.
Outside of that as well, is there, you know, if you guys are sitting down to a board game night, is there like a board game that you are looking forward to or that you'd say other people should check out?
Ooh. I really enjoyed playing this one called Lost Ruins of Arnak. It's like a resource-based, like resource gathering, deck building type of game where you find yourself in this jungle and you're trying to explore this snake temple or bird temple, depending on like the side of the board that you play with. And then you go around exploring different parts of the forest, gather resources, and yeah, like you just win. The person with the most point win. And the fun part is that there are some guardians that you had to defeat too with the resources that you have. So that's always fun. I would recommend checking that out.
So thank you for that recommendation as well. I will, I enjoy board games when I have the room and or time. So I'm going to take a look at that one. So thank you for that recommendation. Anyone else, check it out as well if you're into board games. It might be something that's up your alley. Now, Rui, as I said, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I do want to let you get on with your evening. Enjoy your weekend. However, if there was anything else you want to discuss, like a cool game, what else you're doing, or something you just feel more people should be aware of, by all means, the floor is yours. As well, please let everyone know where they can find more information about you, which I'll also include in the episode description.
Oh, nice. I don't know. I've just been in Baldur's Gate 3, so I guess check that out if you all wanna, spend 1 hour in character creation. Go ahead. That's the best game to do it right now. I don't have really anything else to say, but you could check me out on Twitter and Instagram. Those are I'm most active on those social media sites. But if you do want to check out my work, it's available on ArtStation. I love to like talk to more devs and people that are just tell me what kind of games you like enjoy to play and what games you would recommend me to play. I love to talk to more devs also about like just collabing. But yeah, that's all for me.
So awesome. So thank you so much for that. I will be sure to include your Twitter, your Instagram, and your ArtStation. And, hopefully if any devs listen to this and they want to reach out, they know where to find you and they do so.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you so much again for like having me on your podcast, Link. It was really great talking to you.
Rui, the pleasure was all mine. I really do appreciate you making the time to have this conversation with me. So like, definitely, you're welcome, but like I feel weird saying you're welcome, but thank you. So Rui, if there wasn't anything else, I will let you get on with your evening though.
All right. Yeah, I think that's all from me.
Awesome. So thanks again to Rui for making time to have this conversation with me, and thank you for joining us on the Red Tunic podcast, as well as a special thanks to Ron Jenkins for the use of the music from the title track from Road Steep. And be sure to check out the episode description for links to socials, websites, and other means that will allow you to learn more about or support Rui and the podcast. And while you're doing that, also be sure to like, follow, and be sure to share with those you think might also enjoy it. Thanks. Till next time.